In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. In today's gospel, we know that there are a few of accounts of today's gospel reading in which Christ, he commissions the disciples to go out and to preach and to grant peace to the houses of those whom they visit. And so, and also Christ said this when he commissioned the 72, the 70 disciples, and he sent them out in pairs. And he gave them strict advice for their journey, not to take anything with them, and what to do when they go and they greet and visit people. And so, when the disciples went out to preach and they came back and they returned and to receive a blessing from Christ, they were excited about their ministry because they tell Christ after he told them go and cast out demons and heal the people. And of course they come back and they're excited and they say, well, you know, even the demons are subject to your name. And so, and then he reminds them, yes, they are subject to my name, but rejoice that your name is counted in the book of life. And whenever the disciples came and told this to Christ, Christ not only reaffirmed them that, yes, you have power over the demons, but he says, even I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And so I want to focus today on this dynamic spirituality where this dynamic between mankind and the heavenly creation. It was an amazing vision that Christ, he gave to the disciples to amplify the difference between what the disciples see when they go on their ministry and their journey and what is happening in the heavens, what the heavens see. And in the reading of the book of Acts today, we read, but at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. So the words that were preached to the disciples, the words that were preached to the people and converted them, this is the encounter that they had that changed their lives. But there was, of course, a heavenly work that they themselves were not aware of. The fact that the angel opened the doors of the prisons for them to be able to go out and to preach. But the important aspect is the importance of this relationship between humanity and the heavens. Because the angel could not do anything in God's will in this moment. The angels couldn't do anything without the apostles, nor could the apostles do anything without the angels. And we may consider that the glory of the heavens is simply to see God, but if God's desire and his joy is to participate with his creation, then why wouldn't that also be the will and the work of the angels to also participate in God's creation? Not just because they would like to or they don't really have anything else to do, but because we need them and because in their work and in their love for God that they need us. And if the Son of God himself, when he was in anguish on this earth, he had the angels to console him, or when he was increasing in his understanding, the angels ministered to him. So how much more would God give that strength and that work to the rest of humanity through the angels? It is even the angels that give us strength to offer to the Lord an offering that is pleasing to him. Because in the preparation prayer for the priest, which he says inaudibly, he says, send down to me strength from on high that I may begin and make ready and accomplish your holy service after your pleasure, according to the ascent of your will for a sweet savor of incense, according to the ascent of your will. So it's a strength that we receive from on high that God himself would ascend to, meaning that he accepts, and because it's a sweet savor of incense. What is this strength from on high that we pray for every liturgy that allows us to be worthy enough to partake of the Eucharist? When Christ was in Gethsemane, we read, "And he knelt down and prayed, saying, 'Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.' Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him." So when Jesus was preparing to be a perfect offering to the Father, the angels were the ones that were the power coming from on high to give him strength. And likewise, when we seek to present a perfect offering of ourselves, and when we come to partake of the Eucharist, the angels, they give us the strength. Many might say that I don't need the saints and I don't need the angels, but I beg to differ. I beg to differ, because if Jesus Christ himself needed the angels to strengthen him on earth, then we need a fleet of them. In the book of Tobit, we read when Archangel Raphael, he exposed who he really was when he went on this journey with Tobias. And he came back and he said, "Now when you, Tobit, and Sarah prayed, it was I who presented the record of your prayer before the glory of the Lord." So the healings and the economy that happened within the life of Tobit and his family was because of the Archangel Raphael, who presented the record of their prayers and petitioned it before the Lord, the glory of the Lord. But what stops us from being tempted to think that we are a burden on the angels? Like, again, there's this separation or this gap. In another inaudible prayer that the priest says, he says, "You have prepared for us those things which the angels desire to behold." So we partake of the Eucharist, we partake of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, something that the angels themselves have never been able to experience, nor will they ever experience. It is something that they themselves desire to behold. You know, it's like, you know, like if your spouse or someone, they make like this awesome cake, and you're going to go on like on a visitation or like a party or something, and you're going to take this offering, and it smells so good, and you can't eat from it because you can't cut the cake, right, at home. You have to wait until you get to the party, and even then you probably don't get any of it. So you desire to partake and to eat, and you can't, because it's not for you. Even though the Eucharist is the closest way that we can interact with anyone, even the heavens, yet by our own standards, even from a physical proximity perspective, sometimes we don't recognize how many times we ourselves encounter angels. You know, when Abraham and the icon, when Abraham was visited by the angels, and they appeared to Abraham as normal, as regular men. Or again, with Tobias, when Archangel Raphael was with him the whole time, and he didn't even know until the very end. I mean, he even saw Archangel Raphael eating, and he said, "By the way, when you saw me eating, that was a vision. I wasn't actually eating the food that you eat," which was disappointing, but unfortunately, that's the reality. And we read in Hebrews, St. Paul, he says, "Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels." Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. We're always participating with the angels and with the heavens. And the reason I wanted to reflect on this is because sometimes we're stuck in our world of, you know, worrying about, okay, where do the kids need to go, and I have bills to pay, and I have things to do, and I have work, and I'm tired, and so forth. And sometimes we forget about the interaction that we have with the heavens. We forget about how close we are than we really than we really know or understand. It always reminds me of in the Gregorian liturgy when we say, O you who do more than we ask or understand. But for us to recognize this providence, Jesus asks that we be little children in our faith. Even after this, Jesus, he prayed to the Father and he was grateful and he says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. Then he turned to his disciples and he said privately, blessed are the eyes that see what you see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see but did not see them, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. We say this every liturgy in the litany of the gospel. For blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And so Jesus here, he is not speaking about the eyes of the disciples in a literal way, nor is he speaking about things that would be fascinating to the eyes. But he's speaking about the eyes of faith that is different than what the prophets and the kings experienced, because salvation in the prophecies was not yet fulfilled. And so now there is something to hope for. We live in a time very different than the prophets and the kings. In the Catholic epistle today, we read, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, that the genuineness of your faith may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And even whenever Archangel Raphael, he visited, he revealed who he was with Tobit and the family. And all his instruction at the end was, praise the Lord at all times by singing songs and hymns. This is why even in the church we chant so much, is because because even the prophets and the kings, all of them, there's a difference between just uttering and using our voices as a way in worshiping the Lord. In the liturgy we say, a sacrifice of praise. That is our sacrifice even in the liturgy. And so he does this to remind us to constantly praise the Lord with thanksgiving and with hope in salvation. This is the opened eyes, the eyes that love someone that I don't see, yet I know is interacting with me, yet is among me at all times. Like in the Synaxarium, when Peter, he preached to 3,000 and they were all baptized in one day. For us to baptize, it might take a year because we have to go through all these logical approaches to understanding the faith. Yet Peter, he preached the resurrection, he preached salvation, he preached hope, and he preached love. And in one day, 3,000 people were baptized because they loved with a simple love. They changed because of the faith they had as little children. The opened eyes, they remind us that we're not an earthly creation, and nor intended to be one. They remind us that every person, every situation, every encounter is meaningful to my life and my salvation. And it reminds us that I am meaningful to others around me. And these three things were fulfilled in the gospel for today. He sent them in pairs to show them that every encounter is meaningful, and so that they remind each other through the support. And he sent them without sustenance to remind them that they are not sustained or created for or by the earth, because they are taken care of by the heavens. And he sent them and tells them to give peace, to remind them that they are meaningful to others when they have Christ in them. They are meaningful and important for others because Christ is in them. And he says, first say peace to this house, and if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. What does that mean? That means that if I come in the name of Jesus Christ and I preach to you the good news and you reject it, it's not that, okay, I'll take it back. There's blessings that come upon, return to you, the fathers, they say that there will be a blessing for that rejection. And so we are vessels to grant peace to others. And so we ask that the Lord grant us opened eyes so that we may see that the heavens, how close they are with us, how God uses his angels, and how we participate together so that we may join them in the heavens. To him be the glory both now and ever and unto the ages of all ages. Amen.